Good morning, everybody. Good morning on this beautiful Sunday morning. I pray everybody's doing well. This is the last month, the last Sunday of September. We are about to enter the fourth quarter of the year, and I've been warning about that on the news. But I want to tell you guys this morning that Pastor today, he is going to preach on the rest of God, and how we need that in the middle of the storm that's coming. And what a powerful timing. God has been dealing with Pastor all week, waking him up in the middle of the night. Even this morning, he woke up in a deep, deep intercession. And then I went into intercession with him. We cried and cried about what is coming. We cried for our family. We cried for our children. We cried for you guys, for the church, for the nation. Because this is how serious all this stuff is. It was also a time of lifting our burdens, and we're going to spend time with you guys today after the service for prayer to lift your burden. And so I encourage you guys to stay on after this today, because I lifted a whole lot of my burdens. I cried and cried this morning. I feel so light right now. And I'm very grateful for the rest of God. I'm grateful for him taking our burdens, you know. But I think about that scripture, Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Because up until this morning's intercession time, my mind goes 100 miles an hour. With all that's hitting the country right now, with all that I know that is coming, it's like a whirlwind of, you know, in my head with the heaviness and the burden of the church and, you know, the bride here in the last days. And that's why God is giving us this today. But I want to remind you, church, and all of you that are listening from across the world, we know that a lot of you we will never talk to and we will never see you. But we know you're there. We know that you're a part of this church. And we do consider you a part of this church when you fellowship with us and you listen, you know, to our sermons and stuff. We appreciate you guys, but we know that a lot of people right now are very anxious, you know, about what they see right here on the horizon. So we all need this rest and we need to, you know, give God our burden. So I just want to thank the Lord this morning for us obeying God and doing that 3-day fast the beginning of this month. It has been a whirlwind since we did that. And wow, 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 what God said. When he told us, remember last year when I told you to get out of the metaverse? Remember last year when I told you and it took you 8 weeks to get out? And look what has happened since then. AI has taken over. And now I want you guys to know that it is the time for martyrdom. It's the time for the greatest persecution the church has ever seen, as far as we in America. Bam. Here come the deal with Charlie Kirk. Bam. Now everything is calling him a martyr. So like I told you guys on the news, in 2020, when the Great Reset hit, we had the George Floyd deal where they said, I can't breathe. That was the motto. the attack that come right after that is they could not breathe. Now the motto in this new era that we're stepping into is martyrdom. And so this is, God already told us, this is why it is so awesome to fast. It is so awesome when we call these, when we call the congregation together to come together in agreement and hear from God. Look how powerful it is. So now we see that the one world religion is setting up their final climactic event, October the 8th through the 12th, at the National Mall, where they're setting up a table, an ecumenical Catholic deal, where they are, and they, I even showed where one of their main leaders said this. I showed it on the news last night, where he said, this is just like with Jesus. Right before Jesus died is when they had the Last Supper. So I see this as the last display before they go after the bride. And I'm not trying to be real heavy this morning, but I'm trying to, you know, lay the foundation that we are going into very serious times and we need each other more than ever. Even on the broadcast Friday night, I gave the most warnings, a 7 warning in one broadcast. Never had that before. And it's how everything is coming together right now. War, famine, sword, cyber attack, you know, all that kind of stuff is all hitting at one time. So this morning, as we listen to Pastor and we go into God's presence, let's open up our spirits to hear what God is saying about how can a bride rest and dance with him in the midst of the storm. Remember what he told us on the last fast. He said, put your feet on mine in the storm and let me guide your footsteps. I know how to dodge bullets. And that's what he's done with us. He's took us out of the metaverse. We've dodged the bullet of AI. Now he's telling us you're getting ready for the great persecution. So now you've got to get your heart ready. You got to let it go. You got to forgive people. Let it go. So what we're going to do is we're going to receive from him this morning what the Lord is speaking to us about how to prepare for this event coming and how to prepare our hearts. And I'm going to sing us a few songs about peace and rest. So the first one I want to say, well, first let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for our time together this morning. Lord, I thank you that you love those that you warn and that you are always looking out for us. Lord, you are preparing us. You are strengthening us. And you will fulfill your word, Lord. You will be with us. You will not leave us or forsake us, Lord. You have went before us, which is why you've warned us. You prepared the way. Everything we need and all the love we need is over there. So we thank you, Lord, that today we have sunshine. Today we have birds singing outside our window. Today we have the sun shining. We have each other. We're able to be together. So we're going to praise you, Lord. Praise you in the midst of the storm. In Jesus' name, amen. More love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life, and I will worship you with all of my heart, and I will worship you with all of my mind, And I will worship you with all of my strength, for you are my Lord. More love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. And I will worship you with all of my heart. And I will worship you with all of my mind. And I will worship you with all of my strength, for you are my Lord. You are my Lord. I tell you, I'm thankful that the Lord, warned me and told me what their plans are for me and told me, get your weight off. You know, and I'm really thankful that I listened to the Lord, you know, because I need my strength to endure what is coming. And I told Dennis, I said, you know, I had a dream that they come and took me away. And when I looked at your eyes, you were standing on the front porch. The love. Knowing we'd never see each other again, but the love of, we had that time, you know. But when that time comes, I'm in Jesus's hands. And that's all of us. When our time comes, whatever it is over there, Jesus is with us and he will help us to finish our race. Because we'll all be together soon anyway. You know, all this is just a fleeting moment. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from heaven today. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, flowing down from heaven today. One more time. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, flowing down from heaven today. I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. I've got peace, love, and joy. I've got peace, love, and joy. I've got peace, love, and joy in my soul. I've got peace, love, and joy. I've got peace, love, and joy. I've got peace, love, and joy in my soul. I was also talking to Pastor about what we're going through right now reminds me of the Negro slavery. Negro slavery. Because I told Dennis, I said, can you imagine a woman that is living in a slave house that has nothing, no water, has to go to an outhouse in a cold house on nothing but a hard bed. And then she has to go in a house and take care of all these rich people who look at her with all this dung in their eyes. You know, put her down, or, you know, just picture yourself in that boat. You can see how that woman could have such anger and bitterness in her heart that it would destroy her own soul. You know, and if we're not careful, we can be that woman. We can harden our heart because we see too much. We see the atrocities. We see the lies. We see the deception. We see, and it just makes you angry. You know, like this woman, just the justice, you know, not having your justice. But I truly believe that those Negro spirituals is what got them through that. I really believe it. Those are some of the best songs ever written in their suffering and in their sorrow. So I believe that as we sing, as we walk with a joy in our heart and we sing, like sometimes I'll just start the news off and I just sing. You know, it's like, what else can you do right now? You know what I mean? We got to sing, you know, and just give God that burden. We can't carry this, you know. So right now, let's just joyfully let Pastor give to us what the Lord has given him. Good morning, sir. Pastor. I'm clicking on the unmute.
There, I unmuted this side.
There we go. Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. Hope everybody's doing okay today. I just had to take them off my big shirt. It's getting too warm here.
Yes, you've got the floor, sir.
All right. Okay, well, like I said, I hope everybody's doing well this morning. Let's see, I'm trying to, I guess, turn to Matthew 11, 28 through 30. You know, when I was, earlier this week, I was thinking about this, about rest, you know, and, you know, we just need this rest, you know, in our souls. And that's kind of what I want to talk about. And I want to share some scriptures, not just on rest, but what's happening kind of around us that's causing our souls to be unrest. And then we're going to be in the Old Testament, and back then even, you know, the world and around these great prophets and, you know, Isaiah and Habakkuk are the two main ones I'm going to talk about. Isaiah, yeah. And, you know, what they were seeing around them that caused such unrest in their souls, a burden. You know, we have these burdens, and that burden can cause unrest, you know. And so, but, you know, in Matthew 11, verse 28, It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, and I was thinking about this verse and or these verses, but verse 30, and I really haven't answered my own question. It says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus has a burden. You know, this is his word. You know, his burden is light, but yet he does have a burden. You know, what's his burden? You know, and I thought about some different things, and but I never did write it down here, and you know, because I just kept pondering and thinking about that verse while I was doing all the rest of this. So with not really having that answer, just to tell you right now, you know, so my question is, what is your burden? You know, and give you just a, you know, a minute to think about that. You know, what is your, we all have burdens. And this morning when I woke up and was praying and woke June up, you know, when I just reached over and was, you know, touching her forehead and started praying and interceding and everything, you know, these burdens we let out, and we all have these burdens, you know, for our family, our friends, finances, whatever, the list is long, you know. I'm trying to find a scripture here that okay, in 1 John 5:3, it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Okay, well, in my book, Bible here, the footnote next to grievous is burdensome. Okay. So let's read this again. For this is the love of God. Well, let's start with verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him, also that is begotten of him. By this we know that the love, that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous, or not burdensome. And I want to go back up to verse 2 because this just, I just seen this. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. And this morning, it was really heavy on our hearts when I was praying. And, you know, I was praying for more, you know, to know God's love more, because God is love. You know, and so the more love of God that we have, the more we're like him. And it says here, for this we know that we love the children of God. So we need to love each other, because we're all the children of God, right? So we need to, you know, not be callous, not be arrogant, And we addressed those two words this morning. You know, me and June repented. You know, if we ever seem callous or arrogant, because we don't want to. We want to show love. We want God's love to be, you know, just coming out of us. You know, we want that compassion, that humble, you know, heart. So anyway, just touch me right now. Anyway, so Jesus has burdens too. It says here, is it, you know, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so I'm seeing this as well. You know, is his commandments, are they burdensome to us? You know, because his commandments, says here, are not grievous, are not burdensome. Are we obeying God's word? Are we doing his word? Maybe we're only doing parts of his word, where it says we're supposed to love everybody, but we're not. So maybe because we're not, we've got some burdens. Or maybe it's not love, but we're only doing parts of what his commandments, what his word tells us to do. And because we're only doing parts, maybe we're ignorant of it, or maybe willingly ignorant of it. So is it causing us burdensome? Is it burden, you know, putting these heavy burdens anyway? I'm getting sidetracked here, but anyway, that was my question to myself. What was Jesus' burdens? Because it says, I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And that word rest in Greek, and I can't even pronounce it, so I'm not even going to say it, but which means to refresh, to rejuvenate, revitalize. We're going to talk about that a little later, but, you know, do we need a refreshing? Do we need to be rejuvenated? Do we need to be revitalized? It says, first of all, we need to, what does it say? Come unto me. We need to come unto Jesus. We need to make a choice to spend more time with the Lord. So if we need to make a choice to spend more time with the Lord, we're talking the soul realm, are we not? The mind, the will, and the emotions. We need to make a willing, you know, we have a will. We have to make a choice. You know, in order to get in his presence so we can hear his still small voice, we must quiet ourselves by getting away from all the commotions of this life, you know, whatever it may be. And like I was telling June, the list is long. You know, we can name a whole array of things, you know, get away from all the media outlets, TV, radio, phone, work, maybe crying children, nagging spouses, nagging children, neighbors, whatever. We need to find a quiet place to worship, to pray, to read the word, to ponder certain scriptures, not just read over them, but think about them, you know, in our quiet time, because this is the key, I believe, to think on them. There we go. We're in the soul realm again. We made a choice, and now we're using our mind, our will, and our emotions to think on the words, to pray on them, to write them out maybe in a prayer form, and maybe to someone You know, if we have an ought, you might say, or something against a brother or sister or a spouse or a friend or something, and maybe we need to repent or to forgive. Well, what we need to do is, and I've done this, and, you know, in fact, I wrote a big long letter to someone a few months ago. I never did send it, but I wrote a letter. It was about 6 or 7 pages, both sides, explaining from my heart what I see, what's going on, and, you know, and, but that helps me, you know. Not saying you have to send it, unless, you know, the Lord says, yeah, send it, you get that unction, you know, but it helps to release maybe some burdens, you know, where we releasing them unto the Lord. Amen. But, you know, and hopefully in doing so, you know, you'll put yourself in a position where you can start receiving from the Lord. Don't move too fast. You know, don't leave your quiet place. Hang out, you know, in the Lord's presence, you know, as long as you can. You know, let the Holy Spirit give you peace and joy and strength and direction, you know, as you're seeking, you know, to find rest for your soul. See, this is a great invitation that we need to acknowledge. Jesus is inviting us right here. It says, come unto me. Is that not an invitation? So right now, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you that you've invited us. As we read your word here too, your words, it says, come unto me. So, Lord, we're coming to you right now, Lord. Because it says, come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I know each one of us, because I know me and June, we've got some burdens. You know, we've got some issues that we need to deal with, whatever, and we need to give them to you. So, Lord, we just acknowledge our burdens this morning, each one of us, Lord. So we thank you that you've invited us to come unto you, to study your word, because your word is you. You are the word. It's spirit. And so we thank you, Lord, as we look into your word, and that you give, you know, we can find rest and we can find direction, peace, joy, and strength to carry on in such a time as this. Amen. Thank you, Lord. See, this is the great invitation, and we need to acknowledge that Jesus is inviting us. You know, we're in such a fast pace of life right now. Look at all the stuff going on around us, all the many demands of life that can stress you out. You know, you got to do this, got to do that, and oh, I ain't got time to do that, and, you know, things are piling up, and maybe even overlapping, you know, all the things that you got to do and want to get done, whatever. And it could be causing unrest, burden. You know, when you're moving that fast, it's difficult to stop. And when you do sit down and try and rest just for a minute or two, because maybe your adrenaline is racing, you know, you may be physically getting some rest because you're sitting down, okay, you know, taking some time. But emotionally, you know, you could still be running on full speed ahead, you know, by all the stuff of this world, all the stuff around us. And we're going to show some scriptures about that. You know, it's time to come unto Jesus, all ye that labor, which describes a person who has become completely exhausted, that word labor, due to a nonstop continuous work and worry laden. You know, laden perhaps. You know, you're carrying a heavy load on your back. not only physically, but spiritually. Your job, your financial situations, personal burdens, family, you know, regardless of what it is, you know, Jesus is inviting us. He's pleading right now that, you know, for that heavy laden person to come to him. That's going to be the key. That's the key. We got to come to Jesus. We got to lay it down at his feet. We got to acknowledge these, you know, spend time with him. You know, we have to schedule time to be alone with him. And, you know, it's not an option to the Christian. It's the answer. You know, Matthew 11, verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It says my burden. What's burden? In Hebrew, it means lifting up. It's often used in the meaning of a load, what is carried, things hard to carry, you know, work, duty, or sorrow. I'm reading from my Bible dictionary. It's also frequently meaning of an oracle from God, sometimes a denunciation of evil. You know, the oracle from God, that's like a divine communication. You know, and his word, is that not a divine communication? Wow, just thinking about that. But it says, let's turn to Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13, and this is about the doom of Babylon predicted. Just think about that for a little bit. The doom of Babylon. And here's Isaiah. And it says, the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. You know, he's seeing what's going on. It says, lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand that they may go into the gate of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for my anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. Or his prestige, you know, because he was, you know, a mighty man of God. The noise of the multitude in the mountains, like as a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustered the host of the battle. They came from a far country, from the end of the heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation, to destroy the whole land. And we're not going to read the rest of this, but the burden of Babylon he's talking about. You know, Isaiah had a heavy burden. You know, he was seeing the evil around him. You know, not just, you know, in Babylon or in Egypt. He was, it says here, I'm trying to find the right verse here where it says, okay, verse 11. This is Isaiah chapter 13, verse 11. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. So, you know, he knows that this is coming, you know, this, you know, the judgment, you might say, and he's seeing all this stuff around him. It's causing such a great burden, you know, and in Isaiah, the burdens in Isaiah were many, and the woes. You know, if you read through the first part, the first few chapters and whatever of Isaiah, there were many woes. And what is that word, woe? It's great grief or distress. You know, when it says woe, it's like an exclamation of the great grief or distress, the trouble that he sees. Whoa, wow, man, look what's going to happen here. That's kind of how I see that. And so when you look in, when you do Isaiah, you know, you can go to Isaiah 5:8. These are the woes of Isaiah. Isaiah 5:8, 5:11 through 18, there's some woes. Isaiah 6. I want to go back to this one here. Isaiah 6, verse 5. It says, whoops, I went too far. Isaiah 6, 5. And I said, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes see, for my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. You know, this was Isaiah's vision and his commission that he had, you know, he from the Lord. And we're not going to read it more, but he's like, woe is me. You know, God's given him a commission. You know, the Holy One, the King of the Lord of hosts. And there's, and when you look through it, you know, in Isaiah 5, Isaiah 5 is about the parable of the vineyard, the parable of judgment. In verse 8, woe unto them that join house to house and lay it field to field till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. Verse 11, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning. Verse 18, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as were with a cart rope. Verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that they put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Are we not seeing this stuff right now? Verse 21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And that word prudent, you know, means they're planning, they're scheming. Verse 22, woe unto them that are of mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. So, a lot of woes. And you know, you can even go further into Isaiah 28:1. There's woe. Isaiah 31, another woe. Isaiah 31, woe. Isaiah 33:1 is another woe. So there's this great distress and grief. Whoa, look what I'm all seeing here. Woo! You know, and a lot of us are carrying those woes, because look at what we're seeing all around us. If you're following this ministry, you'll know what I'm talking about. There's one that I wanted to really point out. Let me find it here quick. Isaiah. Let's see if it was Isaiah. Okay, Isaiah 21. Well, there's where he's using the word burden. Isaiah 21. 1. The burden of the desert of the sea, as the whirlwinds of in the south pass through. So it cometh from the desert, from a terrible land. You know, this is the oracle concerning the desert of the sea. In verse 6, for thus hath the Lord said unto me, go set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. Down to verse 30, the burden of Dumain, he called to me out of Syria. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh and also the night. If ye will inquire ye, return come. Verse 13, the burden of Arabia. Chapter 22, verse 1, the burden of the valley of vision. You know, it's, and we're not going to read all these, but there's all these burdens. The burden, chapter 23, the burden of Tyre. How, ye ships of Tarsha, for it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no entering in from the land of Chittim. It is revealed to them. But there's a lot of burdens, a lot of woes in Isaiah, and those burdens and those woes, you know, they can bring unrest. Because let me find this one. Isaiah, okay, there it is. Isaiah 13. Okay, Isaiah 13. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. Okay, I want to go back to that, because the burden of Babylon, this is the, in this chapter, it's talking about the doom of Babylon predicted. Okay. I almost want to read this all, but I really don't. But write that, put a note down there, the doom of Babylon, the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. He's seen what's, you know, and this isn't good. I mean, you read this chapter, it's like, whoa, you know. Just, I'll just read a couple of quick verses that I got highlighted. Verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Whoa. Verse 11, and I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease. And I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible, you know, the ruthless people. You know, he ain't talking just about Babylon. He says here, I will punish the world. Whoa. Wow. But I was thinking about that. Here's the doom of Babylon predicted. And if you turn to Revelation chapter 17, is the doom of Babylon predicted again here. And I'm not going to read it all, but Revelation 17 and 18, the doom of Babylon predicted in chapter 17, the fall of Babylon in verse 18. And to me, if you've read this enough times, and I've got it highlighted all over and studied on this here, I believe Babylon is America. And when you read this, it's like, whoa, look what's coming. I've told many of people, you want to know what's going to happen? Just read Revelation 17 and 18. Because I believe that's what's coming to America. You know? In verse, I want to, you know, this is in Revelation 18. I'm just going to read a couple of things of it. Verse 2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage for every clean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. You know, just think, is this America? Verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. It ain't going to be good. You know, and just thinking about this, you know, the direction that, you know, the world is going, and Babylon, if it truly is America. Wow. You know, we carry kind of a heavy burden. Like Isaiah. So, you know, if you're carrying these burdens, you know, these burdens and woes of the things that we see happening all about us are many. Like the days of old, the two prophets, teachers, advisors to the kings, they had to seek rest for their souls, you know, with complete confidence in finding rest in the Lord. With complete trust, you know, we have to really put our faith and trust in the Lord. Amen. Let's turn to Habakkuk, if I'm pronouncing that right, Habakkuk. Let's see here. I thought I had it marked. Here we go. The book Habakkuk. Chapter 3. And this is a prayer. The you know, chapter 3 is the prayer of Habakkuk. And I'm not going to read it all, but I want to go down to verse 16. When I heard my belly tremble, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fall, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and I will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. You know, this is his prayer for rest in the day of trouble. And it's interesting in my Bible, the name Habakkuk, you know, it's derived from the Hebrew root meaning to embrace. You know, the prophet was called the embracer, either because his love for God or because he wrestled with God. Probably because the prophet's surprised to learn that the Chaldeans were God's choice to punish disobedient Judah. Whoa, think about that. You know, in chapter 1, why does God permit injustice? And why should God use the wicked to punish, you know, nations? Chapter 2, the just shall live by faith, verses 1 and 4. You know, a judgment of the unrighteous in verses 5 through 19. And then we're in chapter 2, I guess. You know, the just shall live by faith. And then in verses 5 through 19 is about the judgment of the unrighteous. And there's 5 woes. Woe to him that is increased that which is not his. How long? And to him that laden himself with thick clay. And he's talking about unrighteousness here. That the people of the judgment of the unrighteous. Verse 9, woe to him that is covet an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, and that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast insulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. Oh. Verse 12, woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and established a city by iniquity. Verse 15, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, and puttest thy bottle to him. Verse 19, woe unto him that saith to the wood, awaken to the dumb stone, arise and it shall teach. What, an idol? Is God? Lots of woes here in Habakkuk. You know, and when I was reading this, it reminded me when I was reading this verse 16 in Habakkuk 3, his prayer, when it says that I might rest in the day of trouble. And it took me to Luke chapter 21. Hold your finger here, but just turn to Luke 21. And Luke 21, you know, is about the signs of the end, kind of like Matthew 24. But in Luke 21, and if you read down to this, you know, all these predictions and stuff about, you know, the end time and the coming of the Son of Man, it says here, verse 35, well, let's go to 34, and take heed to yourselves. Okay, what does it say? Take heed, pay attention to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with suffering and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unaware. You know, be aware of what's going on. Don't let all this stuff get you down and out. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Wow. That's not just, they're not just talking about me or you or a whole group. It's saying here, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. In verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And, you know, and going back to Habakkuk, his prayer, this is a prayer, you know, that he has confidence. He's trusting in the Lord, you know. So do we have some burdens and some woes? I want to read and this is in my study Bible here. In the front of it, they got kind of a little bit about the book. And so I want to read just part of these footnotes at the beginning of this here. It says it's called the uniqueness of the book of Habakkuk, because the contents of the third chapter provide a triumphant climax to the problems posed in the first two chapters. We have in the whole book of Theosophy, the structure of this property is unique in the Old Testament as is the theological content. In the first two chapters, there is a dialogue between the Lord and the prophet, in which the latter not only complains of evil, as do some of the psalmists, but even challenge the Lord to indicate how he and the Holy One can tolerate such evil. Kind of like when how can we tolerate all this stuff, man? You know, and Habakkuk is presenting his case to the Lord. The third chapter in this is a prayer. The prophet begins by asking the Lord to accomplish the purpose which he has announced to make, to make his work live in the midst of all the years. Falling upon this prayer, Habakkuk is granted a vision of God exerting his power and manifesting his glory on the earth. Wow. The result of the vision is mingled fear and confidence as part of the prophet. So he had fear, but yet he had confidence. You know, the spiritual message, the brief little book is remarkable in the history of religious literature because of two important spiritual insights. In chapter 2, verse 4, Habakkuk uses the immortal words, "The just shall live by faith." There we go. The just will live by faith and trust. He shall live by faith. This summary is a true piety This summary of true piety became the battle cry of the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century. In the face of all religious rituals, all sacraments and indulgence, there's a Catholic Church, Luther was asserting the primacy of faith. Sin is a broken relationship, an act of rebellion, and estrangement from God. Faith is the restoration of that broken fellowship by repentance and humble trust in God. Faith and trust. Faith to Habakkuk is even more than a humble trust. It is faithfulness, the steadfast obedience to God, which marks the life of faith. This spiritual truth separates all true and false religions. You know, when I was reading this, and it says the steadfast obedience to God. That goes back to where it says that, the Lord says that his commandments are not grievous, are not burdensome, you know. So, obedience. I'll finish reading this just a little bit more. The deep understanding of faith gives this book an indelible place in the spiritual life of the believer. Faith is not just some doctrine which is believed. It is a whole way of life. It is a daily dependence upon God, walking with him moment by moment. Habakkuk says that when everything has gone wrong and all his possessions have been lost and there's not even anything to eat, we will still rejoice in God of his salvation. Faith says that God alone is enough. And when life comes to the end, every man will find out. Whew. Amen to that, huh? So, I want to turn, I think I did that back to Luke 21. In Luke 21, this one verse really stuck out at me. And it says, verse 17, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Verse 18, and there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possesses ye your souls, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. We're talking about the latter days, and I think that's right now. And look all that's going on over there right now. Burdens and woes. You know, confidence, faith, and trust in God Almighty. We must embrace, like Habakkuk, what his name means, embrace. We must embrace and be still and know that he is God. Amen. Let's turn to Psalm 46. Psalm chapter 46. It's interesting because I've got, I'm sure all of us have been to this psalm many a times. I'll have to date today's date on here. I've got about four other dates here. But verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I mentioned this to June this morning when we was, you know, praying and interceding. And it come to me one this morning, refuge. God is our refuge. You know, we need to all have a refuge. And I was thinking about that, you know, how I'm encouraging you today to go find that still, quiet place, you know, a place to get away from all everything, you know, a place of refuge, you know, and seek the Lord and find scripture like this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear through the earth being removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. You know, and when you're by yourself and you're getting with the Lord and you're being quiet, and it says here, verse 4, there is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God. You know, think about that. You know, just close your eyes and think about this river and the streams that come off this river. And maybe one of them streams, man, it's flowing right through your backyard. Maybe it's flowing right through your living room or right there beside you where you're sitting quiet with the Lord. You know, ponder that and think about that. Wow. You know, find rest. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. He's in the midst of that river that's flowing right through your bedroom right now, or your living room, or your backyard, or along the little creek side where you're sitting by yourself. God shall help her in that right early. Early in the morning, maybe, when you're by yourself. The heathen raged and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. Yes, that's our God. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And you just, right there where that R, you just put your name. That's, I got my name there. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolation he hath maketh in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Amen. You know, you find scriptures like this and take time on one verse. Close your eyes and imagine things. You know, get quiet with the Lord. Let's go to Psalm 23. And a lot of these psalms are very well known. But in the midst of all this stuff like Habakkuk seeing and Isaiah seeing, and now today we're seeing, you know, to get rest in the Lord, you got to use him. You got to come unto the Lord, and his word is him. So verse 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, you're not going to be in need if you're trusting totally on the Lord. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, let's go back to that verse 2 again. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, close your eyes and just think about the beautiful green pasture. Wow. And the wildflowers growing up in the pasture, and you're just laying on your back looking up, and the sun shining in your eyes. And right beside this pasture, there's a stream. And you can hear the trickling of the stream. And he's restoring your soul. He's leading you on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. That's where he wants you to be. He wants you to be in that place. Because though, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. What's the key word in that scripture? To me, and I've got it highlighted here, it's through. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You're not sitting in it. You're not hanging out there. No. It's all around us today. We're walking through it. We will fear no evil. For thou art with me. The Lord is with us. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. That rod is something he's tapping you on the shoulder here, on the left shoulder, saying, no, don't go that way. Go to the right. Go to that narrow path. Because to the left is the wide worldly path. He prepared the table before me. In the presence of my enemies, thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me, Dennis Weir, and my wife, June. And each one of you hearing this today, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. 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 Amen. This is how you can find rest for your soul. Take time, quiet time. Let's turn to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. And this psalm is titled, God only is my rock of my salvation. You know, what is your soul embracing today? You know, your mind. What's your mind focused on? And what emotions are stirring up? But what are you going to do with it? Psalm 60, 62. Truly my soul waiteth upon the Lord, upon God. From him cometh my salvation. So it's saying here, truly my soul, your mind, you're thinking about the Lord, you're thinking about his word. You know, you're making that conscience decision to wait upon the Lord. You know, and hopefully those, while you're doing that, the emotions that stir up are going to be of peace and of joy. That quiet stream flowing by you. The trickles of the water going over the stones. The birds singing in the trees. You're waiting upon the Lord. Because you know that your salvation comes from him. And you're like just in awe. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Woo! Amen. We are not moved by the circumstances around us. Verse 3, how long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall. Shall ye be, and as a tottered fence. You know, if you're not really seeking the Lord and getting in his presence, and you know, you're going to get in mischief. You're going to, you know, you're going to be led on this big wide road. And you'll be like a bowing fence, a tottering fence. Verse 4, they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Ooh, amen. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Where's your refuge today? Where are you spending quiet time with the Lord? Verse 8, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. You know, get quiet before the Lord. Worship him, pray, sing. Verse 9, surely men of low degree are vanity, useless, and men of high degree are a lie, to be laid in the balance. They are altogether lighter than vanity. Wow. Lighter than vanity. Vanity is nothing. Emptiness. Use, you know, weightlessness, worthlessness. You know, without success. Trust not in oppression. Don't be weighed down. And become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath not spoken twice, once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. You know, you spend time with the Lord, get quiet before him, study his word, seek rest. Seek whatever it may be, you know, your prayer time, you know. And it says here that, you know, mercy belongs to the Lord. For thou renderest, he gives to every man according to his work. You know, you're really spending time and whatever I think he's going to give you your heart's desire. He's going to give you rest, give you peace. You know, only God satisfies the thirsty soul, you know, with joy and peace and rest. Verse 36, oh God, Psalm 63, and it's titled, God Satisfies the Thirsty Soul. What do you thirst for today is my question. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, you know, in the quiet place, your quiet place, you know, your sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Everybody lift up their hands right now. Verse 5, My soul shall be satisfied with as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. We just give you all the glory and the honor today, Lord. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 6, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Are you doing that? Because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, and thy right hand upholdeth me. Wow, he's saying, my soul followeth hard after thee. In my footnote, it says, obey carefully. There it is, that obedience. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for the foxes. You know, and that's like a whoa. You know, here it is, God saying, you know, you know, those that seek to destroy our souls, those evil people, the wickedness, they shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Amen. Whew. God gives me chills. Let's turn to 1 Peter 5. First Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I want to go back. We're in chapter 5 of First Peter to verse 2. It says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. There you go. That's the soul. Willingly, not for filthy liquor, but of a ready mind. Willingly, a ready mind. We're talking soul realm here. Feed the flock. That's what I'm trying to do today. I'm trying to feed the bride. Just encourage you to get in the word and you know, spend time there. Pick out these verses and close your eyes and ponder on them. And, you know, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall have a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You know, me and June were praying about that once again, you know, like we were saying, you know, Lord, humble our hearts. Give us a contrite, you know, humble spirit. We don't want haughtiness. We don't want to be arrogant and prideful. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he will exalt you in due time. You know, the Lord will raise you up. You humble yourselves before the Lord. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. What's that word, vigilant? Being alert, being watchful, careful, to notice things. to notice danger. That's what that word means. So it says be sober. Be vigilant. We know our adversary, the devil, he's out there. He's roar, as it says here, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And should have a woe here. Whoa. Do we not see that today? Look at all the people who are believing these half truths, these half lies, who are being deceived, and they think, oh, this wide path over here, that's where we need to go. That's the devil. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for grace. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 11. Amen. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 7. In 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1 is about encouragement in persecution. Okay. But in verse 7 it says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. But I want to go back to verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meant, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of one, every one of you, all toward each other, aboundeth. You know, we hope that your faith is growing. Each one of us, God has given us a portion of faith. And when you get in the Word and you dig in the Word and you ponder and think, and, you know, it builds your faith and trust. Verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. And that's our prayer today. You know, Lord, we just thank you for the bride, for everyone listening to this message, Lord. We thank you that, you know, for your patience dealing with each one of us, Lord, and that we have an increased faith in these turbulent times, that we will have strength to endure what is coming upon us, what is discouraging us, what is trying to bring us down, trying to pull us over here into all the ways of the world. So we just thank you, Lord, that we have that strength, that the joy of the Lord will be our strength. Lord, I just ask that you pour out joy upon each person here today, Lord, that they know and come to know you more, Lord, and trust you and have faith in you, Lord, that this knowing to me is key. We have to know. that God is the way, you know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And you care for us, Father. So we just thank you, Lord. And I ask that you would just give each person here strength to endure through this persecution, through their burden, you know, through their burdens and their troubled times. Verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. And that takes me back down to that Luke 21:36, that you are counted worthy. You know, in token, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. And I've got a footnote here. I just want to turn to it real quick here. Exodus 12. I wrote in there. I can't remember why I put that. Exodus 12. Verse 13. There it is. Exodus 12. And this is when the Passover was instituted. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Woo! Wow. The blood. The precious blood of Jesus. A token. It's a seal. I'm going back to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 5, which is a manifest token. You know, it's a plain evidence, the blood of Jesus, of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy. Amen. Wow. But here we are back in this 2 Thessalonians. I want to touch on this a little more. You know, when Paul wrote the book of Thessalonians, okay, there was terrible persecution going on. All right. And, you know, I want to read something to you again. March 8th, I want to read, let's see, it's just about a page and a half, if that. And this is from Rick Renner's book, Sparkling Gems from the Greek. Okay. And this is from the verse that I just read here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. But this is what he says. If you have been under a lot of stress, pressure, and anxiety lately, I think Paul's words in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 are meant just for you. Read carefully, because you're going to find real encouragement and instruction today that will help you find peace in the midst of trouble. And when Paul wrote this book of 2 Thessalonians, the believers of the city of Thessalonica were undergoing horrific persecution. The persecution in this city was worse than it was in other places, because Christians were being hunted, both by pagan idol worshipers and by unbelieving Jews who detested the gospel message. As a result, they were threatening, these threatening conditions, members of the Thessalonian church were suffering, and some even paid the price of dying for the gospel. However, in spite of these afflictions and pressures from outside forces, the congregation refused to surrender to defeat. Excuse me. When Paul addressed these believers in 2 Thessalonians, they had already been under the stress and pressure for a long period of time. The assaults against them had been like a stream of unrelenting poundings from which they had no pause. Naturally, they were exhausted, extremely tired, worn out, and fatigued. It had been a very long time since they had put up their feet and taken a break. The idea of unwinding or lightening up almost seemed like a fantasy. But everyone needs to rest at some point. If you're going through a prolonged period of hardship due to persecution, your business, your family, your relationships, your finances, or your children, you must still learn to rest in the Lord. Even in the middle of a difficult situation you are facing, if you don't, the battle will wear you out. That's why Paul told the Thessalonians, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. The word troubled tells us the extent of their hardships. It is the Greek word, and I can't even pronounce this word, thesiplos, a word Paul often deploys when he describes difficult events. We all know Paul went through a lot. That he and his team have encountered. This word is so strong that it is impossible to misunderstand the intensity of these persecutions. It conveys the idea of a heavy pressure situation. In fact, one scholar commented that the word was first used to describe a specific act of tying a victim with a rope, laying him on his back, and then placing a huge boulder on top of him until his body was crushed. As time progressed, this word came to describe any situation that was crushing and debilitating. Wow. And one example of this can be found in 2 Corinthians 1:8, where Paul writes, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia." The word trouble in this verse is also from the word theopolis. It could be translated, "We would not, brethren, have you ignorant of the horrible, tight, life-threatening squeeze that came to us in Asia." By using this word, Paul lets us know that this time in Asia was one of the most grueling nightmares he had ever undergone. In fact, when he was in the midst of a situation, he didn't even know if he would survive it. Now, this is exactly the word Paul uses when he writes to the Thessalonian believers and says, "To those of you who are troubled," you know, they were going through some heavy persecution. The word troubled alerts us to the fact they were not just mildly suffering. They were horrifically suffering. And as noted earlier, this suffering had gone on for a very long time. But because Paul had been in these types of adverse circumstances himself, on difficult occasions, and had victoriously survived, he knew that for the Thessalonians to outlast these difficulties, they needed to take a break from the pressure. That is why he told them, "Rest with us." The word rest comes from the Greek word anesis, which means to let up, to relax, to stop being stressed, or to find relief. One scholar comments that the word anesthesia was used in the secular Greek world to denote the release of a bowstring that has been under great pressure. It was also used figuratively to mean relaxation from stresses of life and freedom to have a little recreation. By using this word, Paul urges the believers in the city of Thessalonica to find relief from the constant stress they're undergoing as a result of opposition to their faith. Paul exhorts them to let go, shake it off, and learn how to rest, how to relax, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. And I'm going to stop there. And I got a footnote here I wrote myself. And it says, get a grip on yourself. Okay. You know, I'm speaking to myself. Get a grip on yourself, man. Take control. Do what you're supposed to do and don't sit there in your pity party. Amen. But here, again, I want to read this verse. Verse 7, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. You know, rest with us. And I'm inviting each one of you to rest with us. To be refreshed. To be rejuvenated. To be revitalized. Let's read the rest of this chapter, verse 8. In flaming fire, take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Then he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore, also, we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, because of our testimony among you as was believed. You know, I guess what he's saying here is that his testimony of everything, how he found rest in the midst of all this trouble, you believed him. You know, they believed Paul. Amen. So we must believe. We must believe God's word to be true. Amen. Let's turn back to 1 Thessalonians. We're in 2. Let's turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we are willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye are dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behave among ourselves, but excuse me, among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. We want the word of God to work effectually in you. We want it to work in you as you dig into the word. Okay, I want to turn to Hebrews 4. This is our last verse for today, or I think Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. This is, I guess, it's titled The Present Danger of Unbelief. You know, you have to let's continue reading down here in verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must there enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Jesus has given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So this is kind of almost a warning. You know, if you don't have a real, you know, if you're in unbelief and not believing, not getting that word of God down in you, there's danger. You know, the Bible claims a special power, and that special power is the word of God. Verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Ooh. Well, ain't that the truth? Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him whom we have to do. Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And I guess I'm going to end there. Lord, we just thank you that your word, the word of God, is quick and powerful. And we thank you, Lord, that your word will prick our hearts, Lord, and lead us and guide us on that narrow path, Lord God. And Lord, that we could find rest for our souls, Lord. I just pray and ask that you bless each person that hears this message, Lord, that they can find rest and that they will have peace. 2 Corinthians 3:7, that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard over their heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Lord, just touch each person today with your peace, Lord. Fill them with peace, Lord. That their soul, their mind, their thoughts, and their emotions would be relaxed and peaceful, Lord. And in this, Lord, that knowing that you are the author and finisher of their faith, Lord, that they will have joy. Joy unspeakable right now, Lord. Fill them with joy in their knowing you, Lord, seeking you, Lord, that joy will bring them strength to carry on being a wayward soldier in the Lord. So we thank you, Lord, today for your word. We thank you that we can find rest in our troubled, burdensome times, Lord. And as we give you those burdens, they will be lifted. Those burdens can be lifted. I know they can, and that's the key to know. So we thank you and we praise you, Jesus. We thank you for our blessings. We thank you that rest will be a testimony of your goodness and your mercies and your grace towards each one of us, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus. And I've told this story before, and it just come to me again, so I'm going to share it. And it's been many years ago. It was just shortly after I got born again and give my life to the Lord. And I started going to this church, and it was a spirit-filled church. And the first thing I did was join the prayer group. And this prayer group was mainly almost like the bride here, mostly women. I think there was only two, maybe three guys in this prayer group. And they were mostly elderly women, powerful warriors, prayer warriors. And that's what I wanted to learn was prayer. Because, you know, I come from a Catholic background, and I'd never learned anything about prayer. I was really seeking the Lord. And after a period of time, I don't know if it was 6 months or a year or whatever, I was there for 8 years. But I was able to, being a single dad, I had a lot of burdens. And that one day, I broke down and I started sharing them burdens with the prayer group. And they all got up and come around me and laid hands on me. And I'll never forget that day. It was like yesterday. And all them burdens just lifted. Just like that, were gone. And I fell and collapsed on the table and cried. And God can do that for each one of you today. That's my prayer, Lord. Lift their burdens. Give them rest. As they seek you and in your word, Lord, I just ask that you would bless them with rest. Lift them burdens the same way you did me. The same way that I found comfort. Your word says to comfort those that comfort that you've received that others would get. Lord, I ask that you would give them comfort and rest today as they ponder on your word and think on your word and close their eyes and just imagine being in your presence along that cool stream of water. Lord, bless them with rest. And I just thank you, Lord, and I praise you because that's my testimony of the power of prayer, the power of prayer warriors. It's real, the most real thing I've ever felt. So I thank you, Father, that each one hearing this message today will feel that power, that awesome power of comfort and rest. Those burdens lifted. And so I thank you, Father. And I praise you. And I thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus for such a time as this that we can really seek him. What he did on that cross, his shed blood. I plead the blood of Jesus over each one here that they will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the power of the resurrection. He died, was buried, and the third day he was lifted up, and now sits at the right hand interceding for us. So if we thank you, Jesus, we thank you and praise you for your spirit to touch our hearts and guide us and lead us. In your mighty name we thank you and praise you. Amen. I'm going to leave you with that today. Thanks for being here. I hope everybody will have a blessed day.
Well, I tell you what, Pastor, that was such an on-time word, I tell you. And we're going to stop the recording here. Let me just pray for everybody.
Okay.
That will be listening. And then we'll stop the recording and pray for you guys that's on the line. Lord, we just pray right now for the bride across the world. Lord, you know the burden that's on their shoulders.
Yes, Lord.
And you know what they're facing and what they're going through and what is coming. We thank you, God, that you have went behind us and you have went before us, Lord. You are with us in the present and you will be with us always. Lord, we do not fear. I cast off any spirit of fear on my brothers and sisters out there right now. I speak peace to their heart and peace to their mind. Joy overflowing in their spirit, Lord. I pray you give them hope, the hope for tomorrow, that our tomorrow is always eternal. And the blessed hope of being home with you, Lord, is the greatest victory our heart has. We worship and praise you today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Bride, thank you so much, and we will talk to you later.